There's many ways we can remember and cultivate freedom in our practice and in our life. The theme for our retreat is remembering freedom. So the invitation is to reconnect with the parts of us that already know this. When the obstacles and difficulties are moved to the side, even just temporarily, momentarily, it's as though in that breathing space there's a slither of relief that arises. And we can feel into that moment of awareness. There's a real bolstering of joy, an uplifting of contentment and presence. And the practice begins to perk up. And the body naturally lengthens, sits more upright. And there's a new, renewed sense of confidence in the practice. And also confidence in our own capabilities. Doubt, which is a hindrance, it's an obstacle to practice. Doubt begins to subside. In this moment of remembering freedom, there's a deep well of joy. So let's explore this well of goodness tonight. A few weeks ago, I was in Sydney for a meditation retreat, and we stayed with the Brahma Kumaris. Anyone familiar with that spiritual community? Beautiful group of practitioners, very dedicated and committed to their practice. And at the centre where we were running the meditation retreat in Wilton, many of them live there, and their practice actually includes service. And that includes the upkeep of the large property, the garden, through to the cooking and the serving of retreatants on retreat. And they would calmly, quietly and joyfully go about their chores, and they called it service. And there was just such a serenity and respectfulness to the way that they did this. Their whole way of being just allowed us retreatants to have that sense of being held. And in that way, it allowed things to just open up. It allowed us to open up to our own ways of joy and delight. So this joy we can also feel, we can touch into when we see others are positively impacted as well. It's almost like arriving and allowing things to unfold. Those environments and everything in it supports the natural unfolding and the loosening of difficulties. And I guess that's what we're also touching into here on this retreat in our community. Joy, known as Piti in Pali, is the fourth awakening factor, as we've been exploring. And it can present itself differently at varying times. So sometimes that joy, it might be bubbly and effervescent, tingling, or maybe like a balloon popping, firecrackers going off. Might even feel like an energy of jumping up and down. And to the point where it feels like all we are actually laughing, singing, dancing. But perhaps not always. Maybe that's not our experience of joy. And there's other ways that joy can touch us, in very soft and subtle, tender ways. You know, like a warm blanket very soft and tender and subtle. We might be able to witness joy in a part of the body, maybe the heart, and feel the fullness and the vibrance of it. Maybe there's a sweet fragility with the emotions that coexist when we touch into that tenderness of the heart. And this tender energy of joy matures and deepens into happiness, sukha in Pali, a warm glow that envelops the whole being. And if we're not paying attention, we can miss those moments where it might just be a little bit quieter, a little softer, a little more open in the heart and mind. And maybe those moments are all also when there's a little bit of moisture in the eyes. And we can wonder why something was so tender and so deep, how it's touched us. But the moisture in the eyes is not a sense of sadness, rather it's a sense of connection that something has really deeply touched our hearts. And so joy can present in so many ways, from that gross, obvious aspects to the more subtle and quiet and often very quickly fading and dissolving. And sometimes joy is not that easily accessible, or it seems like it's totally eluding us. And joy is not something we need to force or search for. We don't need to cheer up, be happy, or put on a smile. So I guess here we can consider, how do you describe joy? Because sometimes our idea of what joy is too narrow. And then if it's too narrow, it's too well defined, it's too hard to find, too hard to touch into, to connect with. So maybe joy in itself is not the right word for you. Maybe there's something else, like we've been exploring, like ease or delight, curiosity, happiness and gladness. Or maybe rather than a sense of unease, unsteadiness, you know, that sense of something not quite right? Maybe we notice a sense of okayness. The body feels okay. The mind feels okay. So rather there's a sense of there's okayness. And maybe there's a part of the body that we can connect that with, where there isn't tension, there isn't tightness, there's an okayness in the body somewhere. A place that we can connect with our own definition of joy. So we're really looking for the expansiveness of joy, welcoming it in any and all ways. And that supports us to welcome our experience as well, welcome all experiences, so that it does feel authentic and wise for us. And I noticed as I was sitting with my Dharma friends, and I guess, you know, being here together, sitting with like-minded Dharma friends. It's just such a wonderful experience. The delight, pamoja, known as in Pali, joy and happiness, all flowed into and within me, and it was like a deep well of reserves building up, topping up, expanding out and dropping all the way down, creating a real sense of steadiness and ease. And when we have this capacity to find joy, that really deep joy within us, it seems to bubble over into many aspects of our life. The interactions, the activities, even the difficult, the mundane, we can still find joy, your definition of joy, in even those moments. And even the tedious begins to take on a different flavour. And we can look at the problematic with fresh eyes from a different, more joyful angle. Over the last few days, we've been exploring the seven awakening factors, from mindfulness all the way through to equanimity, that support us to wake up, support us to remember freedom. And joy truly is a great support in our practice. The taste of joy supports the deepening of concentration. It's also a great support when we're lacking a bit of energy, lacking some motivation. Joy can spur us on. And joy, our theme tonight, being part of the energizing factors, we've been exploring how it's possible and indeed so necessary to incline our minds towards it, incline the minds, our minds, to joy, the pleasant, the wholesome. And I find this quite exciting because if, you know, we really broaden out our understanding and definition of joy, then we can incline our mind to so many wholesome and beautiful qualities. Particularly in a world that's full of news about destruction. News about separation. Despair. The perpetuation of fear. It's easy for the mind to be caught in this web. This web of fear, uncertainty, worry, anxiety. And we all feel that. We all suffer from it. Before Buddha awakened, he spent many years following an austere path of practice. Deprivation of food and comforts. However, he realized that this was not leading him to awakening. Rather, he was just skin and bones. And some of the statues of Buddha, you can see his bones protruding. And rather, this way of practice was leading him to despair and death. And at this point, he was offered something nourishing and pleasant. A bowl of rice milk by Sujata. I don't know about you, but I really enjoy a bowl of rice milk. How nourishing, how warming it is. And how amazing that must have been for Buddha to be nourished by that. So this was a turning point in his practice, inclining the mind towards nourishment, the wholesome. So it's not surprising that Buddha's teachings on mindfulness of breathing, there is an inclining of the mind towards experiencing joy, towards experiencing happiness. In the Anapanasati Sutta, the mindfulness of breathing, the instructions are inclining the mind, experiencing these wholesome qualities, and calming and gladdening the mind towards the development of concentration and ultimately letting go. And when Buddha did extended meditation retreats, this is what he practiced. He practiced mindfulness of breathing, this inclining of the mind towards the wholesome, the pleasant. When breathing in, he says, I was mindfully breathing in, understanding it as it really is. When breathing out, I was mindfully breathing out, understanding it as it really is. And that's what we've been doing too. Observing the object, getting to know it, understanding reality as it is. And the breath weaves its way through our life, holding us so gently to meet joy and pain that we face. And I guess that's why, you know, it's so accessible. It's always with us. You know, it's like our best friend, a great companion. So many meditators find it a good object to focus on, the breath, in inclining our minds towards the wholesome and using it as a resource for ourselves. But I also want to say here that joy does have a bit of a shadow side. It can represent great freedom when we see it clearly for what it is. But it can also be an energy that we desire and we try to cling and hold on to it, right? We all want more joy, more happiness, whatever your definition of joy is. So even joy can have that sense of wanting to desire, wanting to pull it into us, draw it in, wanting more, not wanting it to end. Whatever that is for you, a piece of chocolate cake that brings you joy, time with small children, it's always joyful to watch them play. Maybe your practice. Your practice brings you joy. So we need to see into where we cling, where we want more of the joy. And it's only by letting go, by releasing, that we can experience even deeper, more profound states of joy. So I was thinking about different ways that we can cultivate joy. And there's actually many ways that we can enrich our lives and others and invite more dwelling in unconditioned joy and happiness. So with each experience that we meet, it comes with a flavour. It's like a taste, pleasant, unpleasant, or neither of the two, encouraging us to move towards it or away. Regardless of the situation, can we stay and meet it, even for a breath, a moment? And notice when the wind touches our cheek, and brings the next fresh experience of being here now to our awareness. Can we notice that? Can we incline the mind towards the wholesome, uplifting when exploring the breath as well? And the feeling tones of experience, the pull, the push, or the neutral, all interwoven with our experience, we begin to see the habitual tendencies of this mind. And gently, tenderly, we allow ourselves to return. Perhaps return to the body, a place to land that feels warm and soft, nourishing. We find the lovingness in our body, diving deep into the well of joy. The author of Autobiography of a Yogi, the yogis in the room will know, Paramsa Yogananda, says, happiness, joy, comes not by helplessly wishing for it, but by dreaming, thinking, and living it in all circumstances. No matter what you are doing, keep the undercurrent of happiness, the secret river of joy, flowing beneath the sands of your thoughts and the rocky soils of hard trials. The secret river of joy. So joy is not limited. Each moment we can connect into joy with our simple way of being. The simple act of giving and receiving can bring such immense pleasure, especially if it's done with the right intention and wise heart. And I've experienced that firsthand in Sydney with the Brahma Kumaras. They wholeheartedly, joyfully served us. And this is what you've all been doing as well. What we've been doing here, mindfully, peacefully, practicing on the cushion, and as you move around, imprinting your feet on the ground with your essence. And we're all benefiting from this service of love. There's some traditions of Buddhism that are very dedicated to the Bodhisattva way of practice. And by supporting and serving others to end suffering, they carry the intention to cultivate compassion and wisdom through their altruistic actions. This generosity of heart brings them a deep well of joy. For this altruistic, expansive heart and mind, they're no longer satisfied just with their own attainments. They realize for true gain and merits that all beings need to be touched by the joy and happiness that they know. So they delay their full awakening to support others along the path. And there's a Bodhisattva vow, prayer. You might know the 8th century master Shantideva. And reportedly Dalai Lama repeats this intention, expresses this intention each day as well. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer. Those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. What a beautiful way to start your day. A beautiful intention to take throughout your day. And we can find joy in so many simple daily pleasures. I remember recently someone saying to me, "Oh, what brings you joy?" And the first thing that popped into my mind was, and of course I said it because, you know, you have to be authentic when people ask you, yeah, these beautiful questions. And I said, "Oh, tickling my little dog and blowing bubbles on her belly." And those of you who know my little dog, yeah, you know that brings me a lot of joy, and also to her. But, you know, even that playfulness of sharing that, you know, that brings joy. And there's a few of you smiling, so yeah, sharing that story, even as silly as it is, we can share in that joy. In your own expression of how joy looks to you, if you have a little dog or maybe a little baby that you connect with. And Oscar Wilde says, you know, we're talking about this simple, you know, everyday access to joy. He says, "With freedom, flowers, books, and the moon, who could not be perfectly happy?" These simple pleasures and moments of life to remember joy, even though some are so fleeting and conditional and relative reality, they still offer access points for us to remember joy at deeper levels. Beginning to experience them, touch into them at more unworldly levels and ways. When we open our hearts to what's here now, really fully be aware, we see life so much more clearly. It's interesting how that happens. Even writing this talk, I was sitting on my bed and so much more clarity just after a couple of days together. And nature also shows us this. The beautiful poet Mary Oliver. The Summer Day, just a small portion from her poem, The Summer Day. "I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention. How to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields." Mary Oliver spent a lot of time in nature. She had a very, very difficult upbringing. And it was a great support for her and supported her curiosity. And I think this poem captures the qualities of delight and joy and happiness and tranquility beautifully in her poem. How to fall down into the grass, how to be idle and blessed. How to stroll through the fields. I felt a bit like that today as we were on the loop to the creek, just strolling through. And in the four loving abodes of the heart, the Brahma Viharas, the immeasurable and boundless qualities of the heart that naturally evolve with the progression of insight. You know, when we begin to see more clearly into impermanence, we see more clearly into unsatisfactoriness, the dukkha, the difficulties, and also not self. So mudita in Pali is the third noble quality of the heart. And it's expressed as appreciative joy, sympathetic joy, unselfish joy, gladness, altruistic joy. And it was such a pleasure to read more about mudita, because it there's not much said about it. You mostly hear about loving kindness and compassion and equanimity, but it sits right here, the third one, mudita. And what it is, it's really delighting, having a genuine gladness in others' happiness and success. Wholeheartedly, without reservation, you feel so much joy for another person's joy. And there's an insightful practitioner called Edward Kons Konze, and he suggests that mudita is actually the prerequisite to loving kindness and compassion, two of the other Brahma Viharas, the heart abodes. He says, for without the foundation of sympathetic, appreciative joy, without that foundation, the other heart qualities cannot begin to blossom. Without feeling the gladness, the joy for another's success, and having that feeling so genuine and authentic, how could we possibly have loving kindness and compassion for others? And when we don't have that joy, that sincere joy for another person's success, we can move towards the tendencies of jealousy, envy, to the point of what's regarded as a frivolous acceleration. An attachment to joy. And when we see these near and far enemies of mudita, appreciative joy, some difficult mind states can begin to arise. Because if we're tending towards jealousy, envy, attachment, difficult mind states like not enough, or the comparing mind, and other fear states can begin to pop up. With investigation, we can clearly see that there really is enough for all of us, that we can let go of the need to compete and compare, or create distance from each other to elevate or even devalue ourselves. Now, this is the beauty of mudita, this appreciative joy. But the habitual patterns of the mind are really not easy to see into, are they? As the mind is often so busy creating a story about this self, to secure it, to keep it safe, that there's no pause. There's no chance just to see that gap. No space for being and experiencing joy. Rather, it's just this constant stream of busyness. And that's the wonderful thing about retreat. We have the opportunity to come on retreat, supported by a beautiful, noble silence over these last few days. Such a wonderful support for each other. we can begin to see how subtly and pervasively this self-making runs our life. And with this understanding, we can begin to let go and seize the opportunity of that sliver of light, that gentle crack, that gap, whatever it is for you, the hint, maybe it's the hint. And this brings us back to the present moment awareness. And here the heart is unbound and joyful. And we can move beyond self-interest and have capacity for others. And we can bathe in and have genuine love and appreciation for others and their success. For the joy is equal to our own joy. And this is regarded as a sublime state. Sublime. Buddha said, "Here, O monks, a disciple lets his mind pervade one quarter of the world with thoughts of unselfish joy, and so the second, and so the third, and so the fourth. And thus the whole wide world, above, below, around, everywhere, and equally, he continues to pervade with a heart of unselfish joy, abundant, grown great, measureless, without hostility or ill will." So worldly joy, where we are attached to the joy, cling to it, still has a sense of the self, this me at the centre. It's still conditioned on certain things happening that will achieve joy and happiness for us. There's still a wanting, a grasping, a clinging. It's like the weather. It's dependent on the weather. Whether the weather's rainy or cloudy or sunny. The weather of our inner and the outer external influences. And once we see this clearly, we can let go. We can release into a deep well of boundless joy and happiness, where there is no one at the centre. No one controlling things. There's no one trying to make anything happen. Because experience all naturally, purely unfolds. Osho, the Indian mystic, said, "A joy that is unconditioned can bring the greatest happiness." And when we sit in the understanding of profound joy that exists even with our own or others' difficulties, so we're still meeting the experiences, but we're able to still have that profound sense of joy. We can feel a deep sense of appreciation, connection, and love, as there really is no distance between us, between all beings. We can feel deep joy for the achievement of our friends and family, for we know how hard they've worked to achieve those successes. And through that, there's a deep interconnection. And once we see that at a more gross level, we can see it in more pervasive ways. Have you noticed any ants on this retreat, how hard they work? Some of those ants, they carry such heavy loads on their back, all the way back to the nest. And we can appreciate the tree that allows its leaves to fall just the right time. Those leaves then nourish the ground and compost the ground beneath. And nurture the earth. In this way, this appreciative joy brings a magnifying glass to the selfish ways of being human, and liberates our heart and mind from the misunderstanding of trying to protect and hold on to things. Protect and hold on to things and knowledge and belongings that are impermanent, that we falsely believe are mine. There's a quote on love that says, "See yourself in others. Their pain is not separate from you. Their joy, their hope, their struggle, it's all tied to yours." And the more we allow these teachings, these insights to really deepen into our hearts and minds, we can understand that we really aren't that different to each other. We all experience joys and difficulties. And in the loving of all of me, of all of us, the welcoming and accepting all parts of us, we can see more clearly that joy and pain are intertwined, but they can both coexist. They can both coexist without the disturbance of the mind. When we see and understand experience exactly for what it is, who I think I am naturally loosens, and the world opens up. It lets light and joy in. And we get to see the magic and mystery of the world around us. We feel more connected, less isolated, less alone. And we can find beauty in the world around us, in our loved ones, in nature. Nothing is excluded. Nothing's excluded from boundless joy and happiness. Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor, said, "Dwell on the beauty of life. Watch the stars and see yourself running with them." And as we settle down and quieten down, hearts open, and we can go within to this deep mystery of joy and run with the stars. And we remember that joy is not reliant upon things being a certain way. It comes from a steady heart and mind, easily able to experience everything as it is. And this is the deep well that can quench our thirst. The deep well of joy quenches our thirst and flows to all beings everywhere. Let's take a moment. May all beings know boundless joy and happiness. May all beings' thirst be quenched by the deep well of joy.